Hello! Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host, the host with the most viral video about professional wrestling, Dan Black, a.k.a. Dansky Black Gamora, a.k.a. Donny Capri, from the time I went to Italy, a.k.a. Don Strowman, the Patreon Don, a.k.a. the modern-day Goof Raja, coming at you like Scott Bakula. Baby, baby, we're taking a quantum leap. Kappa. Gabba wee, yeah, yeah.
The Braun Strowman one was my favorite one so far.
The girl, she's mine. And damn, she's fine. What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our hot, hot wrestling reactions. Baby, baby, man, we are gearing up for SummerSlam and it's hot. It is hot. Remember, hey, before we get into it, you can get your opinion on this show. All you got to do is leave us a cash in. A voicemail at 316-530-2429. Blow my mind. Hey, if you like this show, you want to support the show, remember, we got a Patreon. Patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. You can get our bonus episodes. Like right now, we got a bonus episode. Newman World Order, just breaking down NXT. We got a bonus episode where we break down the movie Ready to Rumble from 2000. One of the biggest pieces of shit ever made.
Put the belt on an Arquette.
Absolutely.
Put the same strap the Dusty Rhodes wore on Arquette.
Not even a good Arquette.
Yeah,
not Patricia. Not Patricia. Yeah. Rosanna.
Nope.
Going David.
Hey, let's introduce our guest because you've heard him already, and that voice, it permeates, baby. Mm. You know this guy from The Bonfire on Sirius XM.
Yeah.
You know this guy from Billions.
Hell yeah.
You people have been clamoring for him. The number one macho man impersonation in the fucking biz.
Leave no doubt behind. Leave absolutely no doubt behind. Yeah.
Dan!
I'm coming for that Andre title.
The Bexploder Soder.
Yeah.
What is up, man?
What's up, dude?
Wow.
Finally happened.
I know. We've been talking about this for, I want to say.
Since Bonnaroo. Yeah. Since 2015.
Since like 2015.
And it just never has worked out, but it finally, the Soder has, well, I haven't came back.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm a Rollins guy, and I'm fucking loving what they're doing with Ziggler and Drew McIntyre.
Oh, yeah.
I'm loving what they're doing with Ziggler's hair this week.
Straightening it?
Ashley Schaefer, BMW,
yeah.
Ziggler.
Oh, my God. I feel it down in my plums.
Hey, guys, if you like Ziggler, I mean, I think we should plug the live show.
Let's plug the live show.
Remember, August 18th at midnight after NXT TakeOver here in New York City on the Lower East Side.
Saturday night
at Caveat Theater. We'll be doing the Comedians of Wrestling SummerSlam-tacular. Dolph Ziggler will be on the show. I'm doing a set of only professional wrestling stand-up that I've been working on for a long time. It's going to be an awesome time. Tickets are flying. And the tickets are cheaper if you get them before the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got this cool scheme going where you could get them day of, but it's $5 extra. You don't want to go down like that.
Don't get the markup. Don't get hit with the markup.
Don't be a chump.
Producer of the live show and also a Sirius XM employee.
Yeah, but you don't know me for my show. It's called The Raw Report on Thursday. It's 4 p.m.
Jason Shapiro, the king of the custom intro.
Hotel, Echo, Bravo, India, Romeo, Oscar, Shapiro.
That's right. That's mine. I made that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, not me.
I had someone make it.
But I like it, though.
Thank you, Remember, that you did that.
All right. Before we get into all the hot on wrestling action, we do have to plug our sponsor.
We forgot to last week.
We forgot to plug.
The Shield isn't your sponsor?
No, the Shield.
I was hoping the Shield was your sponsor. Shapiro's in it now.
Not our sponsor. I mean, we should do this before the guest is in here, but we don't have that kind of capability before you get in.
Well, the sponsor should have given you like a 30 second commercial to play.
It's fault, really.
Right, yeah. It's this guy's fault. He's a bad sponsor.
All right, well, Soda, you can chime in during this.
Deal.
Okay, you ready? Let's get some. He needs a backing track. Okay, are you guys ready? Look, we got an exciting sponsor on the show, Adam Letterman, attorney at law.
Yeah!
Adam is the top guy at the law firm Davis, Saperstein, and Solomon, located in New Jersey and New York. Adam was voted a top 40 under 40 lawyer nationally and is certified by the Supreme Court of New Jersey.
That ain't easy.
As a civil trial attorney, baby.
Oh,
attorney, baby. Adam specializes in personal injury law. Call this guy if you've been hit by a car, a kendo stick, or Elias's guitar. All Cal listeners get free legal advice from Adam himself. Just another perk of this podcast. And all you got to do is simply message Adam Lederman, L-E-D-E-R-M-A-N, on Facebook. Adam's actually in the Comedians at Wrestling Facebook group.
He made it real easy for you.
Yeah, you just message him in there. All right? Unlike Brock Lesnar, Adam will show up and be your legal champion.
Brock showed up.
Brock did show up this week. We got to edit the copy.
Brock showed up.
He showed the fuck up.
Dude, they fucking set it up perfectly for something I've been calling for 2 years.
Yeah, so yeah, let's get, that's what you want to talk about. Let's get into it. Yeah, you were fired up about this before we started.
I've been telling all my friends that Heyman is going to, it's going to be the first manager flip.
Yeah.
Where he's going to help Roman beat Brock at SummerSlam, and then Roman Reigns will be a Paul Heyman guy.
Wow.
And that's going to make Roman over as fuck.
I like it.
I'm telling you now.
Do you think that that means Roman flips heel with Heyman?
I think they do this. Or, I think they do this in-betweener.
Yeah,
I think they
do this in-betweener
where Paul Heyman becomes the advocate. So he tells Roman Reigns what he kind of do. And then it's going to be Roman Reigns versus the McMahons. They're going to build that up and throw, like, you know, Baron Corbin. They're going to throw all those people at
the Constable.
Like Roman. Yeah, the Constable. So it's, they're going to try to do it. They're going to try to give him, like, the Stone Cold rub where he's like, oh, I'm a badass, but everyone likes me. But the only thing that I have the problem with Roman Reigns is his mic skills.
His mic skills are god-awful. And the booking for him is bad, too. My problem with him is that he's main-evented the past four WrestleManias in a row.
Yeah.
The only person who's main-evented five in a row is Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
And he's no fucking Hulk
Hogan. Yeah. That's what we were talking about last week. Roman Reigns was – the Shield debuted in 2012.
Really?
Okay. So, yeah. The Shield –
that's crazy to say out loud because you're like, it's felt like every WrestleMania since I've been 21.
Yeah. He's been in WWE less than – he's been – basically, it'll be 6 years at some point. He's main-evented four WrestleManias in the six – let's say almost 6 years, and this might be five out of six.
In a row.
Yeah. Because
so
looking
tired
like he will
at?
Main event 35.
He's absolutely main eventing.
Because he's going to win the belt, right? He's going to go on a nice long run until Mania.
Unless the main event might be, I mean, the dream main event is Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey. And
of
you
course.
Have a female main event. That would be a like champion versus champion main event.
Yeah,
that's
what
that's what I want, but I don't know if that's what we're going to get. We're probably getting Roman. I'm a progressive man. I'm an ally.
We had a conversation about this on the bonfire, and I was honest about it. I don't know if I'm going to watch the entire – I don't watch outside of the big four.
Yeah.
I don't watch entire pay-per-views.
Yeah.
But I will watch the matches from the all-women's pay-per-view, which I think is awesome, and I'm glad they're doing it. But Big J was like, are you really going to watch that? And I was like, I'm probably not going to, like, make an appointment television, but
right.
I'll like the way I'd watch, like Backlash or something
Evolution?
Like that. Or
do you think is Big J a regular watcher?
No, not at all.
Yeah,
no, but I can get him with like the major four.
I can get him
on Rumble.
I think my guess is that Evolution is gonna be one of the best pay per views of the year.
See, because they have to.
They're gonna pull out every stop. They're already starting with the creative now.
Yeah,
it's just like it's, and that might not be a testament to how good it is, just how poor, how slapped together everything else is.
Yes, exactly.
Right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think so. I am very glad Evolution is happening. I'm very excited for Evolution's existence. I think it's gonna be a not so great pay per view. I think Ronda Rousey's gonna fucking kill it. And not much else is going to be of note.
I'm starting to notice, man, when she did that, when she got in the ring after the when Bliss won the match, you know, by interfering on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
What I love about Rousey is whenever she gets in the ring, I'm always like, I doubt her, and then she does a move, and I'm like, oh, it's fucking great.
Yeah.
And there's like some real, it's like the way when Shamrock would take someone down, you're like, oh, no, you're really in trouble.
Yeah, you know what's going on.
And Brock.
Brock's also the same way.
Where you're like, this guy could just turn it on and just mess your shit up.
They're real athletes, so their physicality and the way they throw punches, the way they throw hip tosses, the way they move is like
much more
ferocious. Yeah, it's ferocious in there.
Well, there's this thing where, like, full disclosure, this is one of my premises for the SummerSlam coming up. But there is this thing where wrestling fans are so protective of the wrestling business. It's so ingrained as the culture where you're just like, Ronda Rousey, I mean, wrestling's a different thing. She can't do it. And she comes in, it's like, all right, guys, she can do it.
She can't work the mic, but she can do
it. It's not that hard.
But she's great.
But look,
but it's like, if you're a mega athlete, you can, it's precedented that you will probably make a big splash in pro wrestling.
It's one thing to go from, like, professional football to MMA.
Sure.
Because, like, you go professional football, MMA, you're like, you might get your shit kicked. But you go from professional football to professional wrestling. Well, I mean, look at the success rate. Roman Reigns, Baron Corbin. There's a lot of guys that were in the NFL. The Rock.
Yeah.
A lot of guys that played football that just came in and were natural wrestlers. I have a friend I grew up with who I just saw when I was headlining Comedy Works. I didn't get to talk to him, but he was my friend Aaron.
Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, in Denver, Colorado. We played football together in high school, and he went on to play D-line at Wyoming, and then he played arena football for 8 years. And I'm like, man, I wish I would have got to him earlier because I'd have been like, go into wrestling.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
He's got such a vibrant personality.
How's he on the mic?
And he's like, he would have been awesome.
Nice.
And I'm like, damn it. I wish I would have.
I have one of his promos right here.
Thanks for nothing. Oh, dude.
Bye-bye. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Rousey in the ring.
Yeah.
The way I'm a fan of Roman Reigns in the ring.
Yeah, he's great in the ring.
Yeah. Did you guys see the Tama Tonga shit talking video?
Yeah, I love that.
I saw that. I saw what's it, Juice Robinson promo this week was making the waves.
Oh, that was a great promo.
I didn't see Juice's promo.
Yeah, it's great. You got to see it. He's doing this thing where they're like really natural promos where they're honest in a way that almost kind of
It feels shoot.
It is a very much a shoot promo.
And his thing is just talking. It's a promo just being like, oh, Kenny Omega's the best wrestler here. If you say anything different, you're wrong. I'm not on his level. And if I don't start winning matches, I'm just going to quit and go back to Chicago and sleep in my dad's couch.
That's the part that was like definitely that felt shoot to me. Yeah. He's just like, I'm not as good as him. I'm worse than this guy.
Yeah.
I'm aspiring to be as good as this guy. And if you don't want to be as good as Kenny Omega, get the fuck out of here.
I love that.
Yeah, it was great.
Why New Japan has a better product right now.
Yeah,
New Japan, I mean, dude, it's
amazing, but it has. We're big WWE marks. Like, I think if to do what WWE does, you know, on such a grand scale, the performers have a lot more freedom there. So it's much more natural. But
well,
I don't
know, it's Budweiser versus a microbrew.
Okay, I
like
that.
Like, you're getting into like specialty like. There's people who are like, ah, fuck, man, after watching that G1 in San Francisco,
yeah,
not the G1 tournament, but the G1 special,
yeah,
I was like, man, that was a
Cody, right?
Yeah, Cody Omega 2, and that was when Tama turned on the Bullet Club.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there was a feeling of, I watched a four-hour special on Access TV with commercials,
mm-hmm.
and it felt half as long as the last WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
That Omega
it probably
Cody
was.
Match.
It probably actually was.
You're right. I forgot it was 7 hours last
With
year.
With the pre-show, which was 2 hours, it definitely was.
Oh, and I watched, me and St. Germain watched the whole thing from pre-show to end of WrestleMania. We and we watched Cody Kenny 1
in preparation.
On YouTube. We were like, we got to watch Cody Kenny 1.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just a blending. There's things that they do in New Japan that are that WWE gets just entirely wrong.
Yes.
Tama Tonga's heel work right now is a level that they can't go to, but it's almost like they're getting close with Joe and Orton right now. Like they're pushing it.
Yeah.
I sometimes think it's because of that. But Tama Tonga got suspended from Twitter for healing off on fans.
How great is that?
He healed off on a guy who had his avatar had two soldiers in the, like U.S. soldiers in the background, and he was like, "Yo, this something
paraphrase, he
was just something like, "Yo, you don't have enough confidence. You got to have like two other people in your avatar picture, and like they're soldiers. Thanks for that." And he's like, "Yo, I did my service. Why don't you fucking nut up?" And he got like kicked off Twitter.
Dude,
for like healing off on about the U.S. military.
I have a theory that when Triple H completely takes over and Vince leaves and leaves it to Triple H, I think Triple H is a fucking huge New Japan guy.
He is. I think he loves
and I think he loves what they do over there, and I think he's going to implement that more, which is letting the wrestlers talk for themselves. Because you're noticing in New Japan when these guys get a little bit of room, sometimes like Juice or Tama Tonga, they cut these promos where you're like, man, this is missing from the WWE.
Yeah.
I don't need to see them do some bullshit interview backstage where they're like, I'm angry about that.
Right.
Paige,
right.
I'm angry about that. It's like, no, I want to see them be like, I like how they do the press conference with the backdrop, and they're like, man, fuck that.
I like that they curse a lot.
Yeah, I like that.
So that's the thing. It's the WWE's hands are kind of tied,
right? They can't do that, but they can
they're
do a little bit of
company, so it's like they got to put a little bit of a governor on it and make sure these guys are, you know, playing by the rules.
But
what NJPW does so well is give a chance to these guys. Like, because if you put Tama Tonga in the WWE, I bet he could still cut great fucking promos.
Hell yeah.
But the thing is, we'd never know that if you didn't have the chance to do it off the top of the dome in NJPW. So I think they're giving people a shot.
And look at, when Kenny Omega had a shot in WWE and trained at NXT, they didn't know what to do with him.
Yeah.
And that's what he said they're doing with Nakamura, too. Right. They're like, they're
absolutely
not letting him go.
I think you were talking about Triple H. I think all signs point to Triple H having a great eye for talent. He signs all the best guys.
He picks up everybody. Yeah. He gets it. He's like, it's like when a comedy fan runs a comedy club.
Yeah.
You're like, your taste is there.
Sometimes I think about that. I'm like, it just takes one guy to just be like, I'm going to quit for the better good of comedy.
Yeah.
And just become the booker. So it's not just some guy who's like, I'm a booker.
Yeah, I'm
like,
a booker. Well, this guy looks cool.
Let's
bring him in.
He's on YouTube.
And I think Vince had a great idea when he was young to get the monsters and make it big and make it bigger than everything, and that's what built the WWE. But now we're kind of in this weird post-pipe bomb promo where you're like, I kind of know that the kayfabe's broken, so let's kind of bring kayfabe back, but it's mixed with shoot promos.
It's mixed with shoot promos that don't go far enough to where you'll suspend your disbelief. Like, we're not going to see Samoa Joe break into AJ's house.
With a gun.
Pillman
style.
Steal his kid and try to raise him on his own. You know what I mean? Like, Pillman style. Like, we're not going to see anything. Where we actually used to see that. Remember Orton went to, like, Triple H's house or something? Like,
they did that. Wasn't it the Bray Orton? They kept showing up.
That was like he went to the actual
Sister Abigail's
house and burned it down. But, like, years before, Orton definitely, like, showed up.
You said burn it down, so it had to happen. That's a cue.
Did he bring a gun to someone's house?
No, that was
when Pillman.
Stone Cold broke into Pillman's house, and Pillman had the gun.
Okay. Stone Cold also brought the gun in the bang gun made
piss his pants.
Hey, I want to just move back to Reigns Brock for a second.
Sure.
The first thing I want to do is, because we were talking about the Macho Man thing, before I lose you,
we
have it on the Is that even you doing Macho?
My voice is that deep.
You just are. Have you heard Pofo just not in Mach voice?
When he talks, it's pretty.
It's pretty close, right?
Yeah, it's like this.
I can't remember.
I met him once. And it's
you
very,
did?
Yeah, it's very.
When? Like 97 or like?
No. Like 2002.
You were the last person to see him alive?
Yeah, I fixed his Jeep.
Oh, wow.
He was promoting Be a Man. Be a Man,
oh,
Hulk.
No.
I was in Spider-Man. That's one of the lines. That was one of the lines from the song where he's like, I forget how it goes. He's like, in another land, and I was in Spider-Man. And you're like, oh, come on, Randy.
I did hear that.
Yeah.
So
he was out promoting it, and I went to go buy. I was working at a radio station in Tucson at KFMA. Shout out KFMA. And I went to go pick up my check, and my boss was like, you got to go in Production Studio 1. And I walked in, and he was like, you're listening to 92.1 and 101.3. And I was like, holy shit. And he turned around, and he took off his sunglasses, and he was like, very nice to meet you, man. I was like, yeah, I'm a massive fan. And he's like, thanks, man. Thanks a lot. You know, love you, Mr. Business. And I was like,
wow.
Thanks, man. I was like, ah, man, you know, just great to meet you. There was no cell phones with, you know, it was 2002. I think barely anybody had a camera on their phone. So I was just kind of like, hey, nice to meet you, man. And he signed a copy of Be a Man.
Which is an atrocious abomination.
I've never seen it.
It's his rap album.
That's his rap album.
Oh, it's his album?
Yeah,
he had a rap album. I knew
listened
to it.
It's a diss song on Hogan. It's his Hit 'Em Up to Hogan.
I remember that. How did I forget that?
Yeah, that's what he was promoting. That's when I met him.
I got that like on Napster.
How much did that sell? Did that go platinum?
I don't know. I played it anytime I got
it. Triple Mer.
I played it on, it was hilarious.
It was crazy.
Hey, so our favorite on the show, the Mach clip I always play is this one. It's my favorite one. I don't know if you know it. I bet you know.
I'm sure he knows it.
Not gonna wait for nothing.
Got a blender,
yeah. They love that. When he's opening gifts at the reception.
Got a blender, yeah. That's the best. Where he's like freaking out on the phone during the match made in heaven.
Yeah,
he's like, I don't know. I'm talking that. My favorite. I mean, I think in order of favorite promos, number one is cup of coffee in the big time.
Yeah.
Number two is the beat goes on. And number three is Cream Always Rises.
Right.
Like, I think those are my three favorites. Those are like the go-tos where I'm like, man, so funny.
He's so funny.
And just when he starts with the cup of coffee, he's like, cup of coffee in the big time. Throws it.
He can just say anything. It's funny. That's just when I was rewatching. We did a bonus episode on the Patreon, patreon.com/comediansatwrestling.
Yeah.
And I was and I was watching the match made in heaven, and he was just opening the presents, and it was just so fucking funny. And you can see he was so loose.
Yeah.
Like, I love how loose all that was. It was like, all right, here's the presents. You and Elizabeth just
just
open
it.
Them and then
just get
Jake
mad at her,
show up,
and then yell. Yeah. I got LASIK like 2 months ago, and I watched when my vision came back. I watched Survivor Series 92, and that was Hogan versus Undertaker. Yeah. But that was when Jake put the snake on Macho Man,
and it bit him.
And it bit him, yeah. And then I watched a Tuesday in Texas immediately after that. I've been saying this for months, man. Jake the Snake's promo after he slaps Elizabeth, yeah. And he comes in the back on Tuesdays in Texas. Because if you remember, Macho Man wins the match, and he's got his arm all bandaged up from the snake bite, which starts bleeding mid-fucking match.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Macho wins. Jake the Snake gets up, DDTs him 4 times. Like, bam, bam, bam. Macho Man's
out. It's a big deal to hit a DDT four
Dude,
times in a
This is when,
time.
As Bruce Pritchard says, this is when a finisher meant something, when a finisher was a finisher.
Yeah.
And it was like, you did the finisher, you didn't fucking kick out. That's what I love about the one-winged angel in New Japan. It's like, you don't kick out of that shit. Mm-hmm. Omega hits you with it, you're done. Mm-hmm. So he hits Macho Man with 4 DDTs, and then like Elizabeth crawls over Macho like, leave him alone, and he picks her up by his hair, her hair, and slaps her.
Yeah.
And then he comes back, and there's a promo, and it's the fucking greatest promo I've ever seen in my life because it is chilling.
Yeah.
Because he's like, Mike Lawrence put it up a long time ago, and I was like, I don't remember this. And I watched it, and I was like, and he does this thing where he's like, oh, bring her back so I can touch her one more time. I'll give all the money just to touch her like that one more time. And you're like, dude, he's talking about hitting his wife.
It's his actual wife.
And then Macho Man comes to and fucking freaks out, and you see him tear through backstage. It's awesome.
That's crazy.
It's
awesome. Jake the Snake is one of the most psychologically deviant promo guys.
I mean, I'm a huge fan of Something to Wrestle With, and something they always bring up is Jake the Snake's ability. Like, that guy could be top of the company right now if he didn't have so many demons.
Oh, yeah, on the mic.
Well, no, but his ability to understand how to write and how to build matches was like, second to none. You watch his promos, you're like, fuck, man, how did Jake the Snake is a legendary wrestler, never had a belt. They never put the IC on him.
The snake looks like a belt.
I mean, he can wear the snake
actually,
as a
snakeskin belt. Oh,
that would be bad.
He may have actually had a snakeskin belt.
That might be why.
Also, I love that he harkens back to the era where you could just be like a barrel chested.
Oh, I love that.
Not
that
even dude. Barrel, dude. He's fucking barely in shape. He is.
I watched an old clip recently where he looks cool. He looks like he's on the precipice of like he could decide to go one way or the other way.
Yeah.
And then he went the
he
other way.
He chose wrong.
All right, wait. Speaking of sadistic villains, just because we got to talk about Brock.
Right.
Yeah. We're on this week.
Yeah.
We talk about Jake the Snake forever. But I'm saying, I thought Brock took it to the next level this week of
absolutely.
Like being.
Well, he did exactly what you've been saying he should do for 6
yeah,
months.
Well, a running thing on the show is that there's a mole in the company listening to this podcast, and they steal all my storylines.
No, but that's great.
They almost hired me. They're like, we don't need to hire him. Just listen to the fucking pod.
He's giving it away for free.
Pick it up. We'll go to his Patreon and give him $5 a month. We'll use the writing thing. But I loved the fact that Brock did something this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he also did nothing.
But he also leans in. I thought it's genius, man. I was like, how the fuck are they ever going to get Roman Reigns off it? Highlight the fact that Roman Reigns cares and Brock doesn't. Call Brock out for that. Like when he said he respected Bobby Lashley, he's like, I don't respect Brock Lesnar. I was like, I like this.
Yeah.
I like where this is going. Because Brock, you could tell, and then I like that he's like mad, treating Heyman like shit, comes out. You know,
I like he's upset. He's cranky.
Yeah.
But he's got to show up. I like that he hit a lot of bullet points for me. One thing he hit up was contractual obligation.
Yeah. And he goes, do I get paid? Give me my money.
He's like, did you get the money?
He goes, then get me
like,
a steak.
I'm here. All I have to do is, and he goes, get me a steak,
baked
potato, steamed
broccoli.
Which is definitely just his real order. Right?
By the way,
100%
I'm
Sable cooks that on the regular.
Oh, yeah,
she's steaming his broccoli.
Did you see the meme where somebody took the magazine and made it Sable's Playboy?
Yeah.
Very funny.
How many people in America do you think are eating only steaks, potatoes, and steamed broccoli for the rest of their life because Brock does it?
There's going to be guys that are dying of heart attacks because they've
across
just been
the
on
nation.
Fucking high fructose corn syrup diet.
Be like Brock diet. They're all going to get diverticulitis.
Yeah, they're like, gout has spiked
in Minnesota. The levels are through the roof.
But I also love that it was like a running storyline. That's another thing I loved when the WWE, where it's like, all right, here's the story.
We're
going to
check back in.
Because there was a lot. People loved Raw this week. I thought Raw was okay, but that made Raw like great.
I thought this was one of their best Raws in a while. I liked the match that they did. I liked the Baron Corbin clean finish over Finn.
Yeah.
I liked that. I just liked the way they did it. I liked Lashley.
You liked Lashley?
No, I mean, Lashley needs Heyman more than anybody.
Lashley can't even handle Heyman. He wouldn't even be good with Heyman. Lashley, I don't know if we're going to...
Can I say something? I love Bobby Lashley because he is the weirdest motherfucker on this planet.
Make him
he
weird.
He's so awkward. Well, I say he should wear a shirt that says socially off, jacked on. That should be
really
his gimmick.
Funny.
His gimmick.
He should be the socially awkward.
He should be socially... He should be like, yo, guys, you know... They gave me the lines out here. I don't even know what to say, but I'm jacked. Like, what's...
They need to find a woman wrestler that can be kind of like Carmella.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like shit-talky and be his, like, no, go get him. And then Lashley's like, all right.
Festus?
Yes, but not Festus.
Not Festus.
Totally.
Or a guy who's just like, he has anxiety. Maybe he's getting anxiety. He's like, I left my Lexapro in Missouri.
Yeah. He's on Baron, stop yelling at me. like Warren from Something About Mary.
Yeah,
he has headphones on.
Yeah. If you touch his ears, he gives you a Dominator.
Oh, yeah. Man, those goopy bastards.
So my idea, I want to have, do you remember Armando Alejandro Estrada? He was Umaga's manager. He was a Cuban guy with a bowler hat.
Yes.
That's who I want for Lashley. I want to put Lashley in a gimp mask. I think if he just doesn't talk.
What about a scarier mask, like a luchador mask or something?
Any mask. Just cover his face. Don't let him talk and put a great mouthpiece
on
him.
Okay, but can we talk about what happened with Lashley this week? Elias came out. Elias is so over.
Okay? Oh, I mean, Elias is so over. They put out an album.
Yeah, he put out an album.
And it did better than other people's albums this week. He listed like who, and I believe him. Like, I think it outperformed and now got more plays on Spotify than like Taylor Swift, Cardi B. Like, he was killing it.
Yeah, because wrestling is so
it has
powerful.
so many fans.
But it is numbers. It's what we were talking about before.
They got the Rushnishi thing where like they got numbers. Like they're busting in the all right, whatever. They got the votes.
They got the wrestling Rushnishis.
Fans are just so dedicated.
Yeah,
it's like I said when I fucked up Asuka's name on my radio show. Someone's like, take his wrestling card away. You're like, dude, I was high and I just went on the radio.
Yeah,
I fucked up.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
And also, I looked it up like trying. And I knew it was wrong, but it's hilarious because it is. They can push an album farther than it should go and give a guy, but Elias, Walk With Elias is...
It's a good album. It's a good EP, man.
Oh, wait, so here's the thing. So Elias comes out. Miami's hot for Elias. He's got the segment. By the way, he's the only guy who wears a t-shirt and it looks like a button-down. It looks like it's got the integrity of a button-down. Because he's got such strapping shoulders.
He's so huge underneath all this.
He's shadily yoked.
Yeah. Like, he really is.
He's got such a good gimmick going. You don't even need to know. It's not even a thing. It's just like
he could
like
be
an AJ Short. They don't even need to acknowledge it. He's an underdog.
He's so over he could be built like Will Ospreay. Or like,
oh, yeah.
Or what's the other British guys?
Zack Sabre Jr. I could beat up Zack Sabre Jr.
Dude, you look at Zack Sabre Jr.'s body and you go, I'm comfortable watching
this.
He's
a swimmer.
Yeah.
He looks like Michael Phelps before he went into the Captain America machine.
He's early Steve Rogers.
He's got early Steve Rogers. Early Steve body. Early Steve's a great gimmick.
Early Steve is
early
a great
body. What if they had an Ellsworth kind of like Jekyll Hyde gimmick where Ellsworth, they have a machine.
Lashley comes out.
He turns into Lashley.
He becomes black.
Oh, dude, that'd be great. Black and Jacked? It's called Blackjack?
Blackjack.
Call him Blackjack.
Give me the serum. I need the serum.
Right. Don't let Ellsworth go in the machine. Ooh. And then he comes out and just fucking wrecks everybody.
Great. So anyway, Elias says, hey, let's... Look, you came out here, why don't you sing with me? They're like, all right, we're going to do a fun segment. And then for some reason, Elias sings Rockin' Robin, which must be public domain.
Yeah, it's got to be. That's why they did it. Yeah.
So he starts singing Rockin' Robin, and Lashley could not pull this off.
I'm surprised that Lashley even started singing. I was my jaw dropped. Like, why is
he?
Why
he was
is this
like
happening?
This. Like, is it I think it was like.
I got one too.
Oh, you want to do it? You do.
Well, because he did it lounge. He was like, Rockin' Robin, hey. Like, he did that. He was like, come on, guys. Hey, Rockin' Robin, tweedly-deet-deet. And then he didn't know the words. Then he couldn't even sing Rockin' Robin. Elias sang Rockin' Robin, gave him the words. Then Lashley tried to repeat the words back, could not repeat what he just heard.
Love it.
Yeah, it was great.
Love it. But watch him get in that ring.
Yeah. I just think he's such a train wreck in a really unique, interesting way.
He's a career.
I almost like it.
This has been one of those times where you're like, now we need managers more than ever.
Yeah.
We need a big stable of managers to talk for all these talented guys.
Well, the talent level is deeper than it's ever been.
Yeah.
But the star level is not the deepest
not
it's ever been.
At all.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, like, New Japan has more stars with half the roster where you're like, guys, where you're like, I want to see this guy, I want to see this guy.
Yeah.
WWE, you're like, okay.
Well, Matt Riddle signed this week. I mean, he's not a Jewish
fan. How's Matt Riddle on the mic?
He's okay. He's got this dumb bro gimmick that he's got to drop. Like, he goes like, bro, bro, Bro,
really?
Bro, it's fine, but it's very.
Is he Ring of Honor?
Still dated. I mean, I see him at PWG. I don't even know. Does he wrestle in Ring of Honor? I honestly don't know.
Everyone does.
Everything I see him is when I'm in LA, and I just see him at the indie. He's on every single indie show.
I like that. I like when a guy works like that.
A maniac. But he also smokes a shit ton of weed, so it's going to be a fighter. Big problem.
Yeah, he used to get booted from UFC for smoking pot all the time.
Yeah, yeah,
and I believe he has tattoos of mushrooms on his abdomen. Am I wrong?
All right, wait. All right, we got it. I also thought this was Kurt Angle's best week. Did you notice that?
See,
we shit on him a lot, and I thought this was the only time he's been good.
What did you like about his performance?
Well, I thought when he was in ring, he was like, hey, here's what, like, when Paul Heyman was sweet-talking him, and he was like, uh-uh, you're bullshit. Like, you're getting fired. I thought it was convincing. I don't know.
The part that was really hard for me was Kurt Angle talking to Roman Reigns. You could hear the CTE leaking out of his mouth.
Right.
Yeah. You're like, Kurt, stop. No. And he's like, you gotta go. You gotta go. And Roman's like, why? It's like watching two dum-dums talk to each other. You're like, how is this going to go over?
He's off, man. He's struggling. Yeah. But also the way that they set him up, they set these guys up for failure. They got all these, like, yoked up meatheads, and they give them the lines 4 seconds before they go on.
They got to let him go.
I think they got to cut
the scripts, man. Just let him talk.
Oh, I thought fire them. You mean let them go, like, off script? I'm like, you got to let this guy go. Cut his contract.
I was saying, like start letting him cut promos again.
What was crazy to me is I remember Angle being really good on the mic when he was the Three Eyes, when he was, like, a wrestler. He was fucking great.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's so.
He took years of damage in fucking indie wrestling with a broken neck.
All right. Well, you solved that riddle for me. Thank you. Now I know.
Remember we watched him wrestle at, like, Webster Hall against Christian?
It was awesome.
In a TNA, like one of those little rings.
Yeah,
it was like
great.
Six-sided ring. The ring looks so tiny. And you're like, man, Kurt Angle, go back to WWE. What are you doing?
And he did.
Did he look great?
Yeah, he's great.
Oh, yeah, he was great.
He was good.
We saw him in ECW right before he left.
Which was like the WWE-owned ECW.
Yeah, Angle, Angle had the Brock gimmick before Brock had it of just like this, just German suplexing like a maniac.
Just fucking, that was it. He'd just pop him and then throw an ankle lock at
the end. Oh, yeah. I mean, Angle, I'll go back and watch some of his clips, TNA, which I wasn't really paying that close attention to. He's got that clip where he flips off the cage. Have you seen that? Like the back flip. His back. He has like the best highlights, and it's a bummer they're not at WrestleManias.
Because they're not at WrestleManias.
They're like Bound for Glory.
Now we got to watch Roman Reigns. Do you think?
Yeah.
Back to Brock.
Yeah, back to Brock.
Do you think Braun cashes in at SummerSlam?
Yeah, so right now we know that Kevin four guys can walk out with the title at Mania, which is Braun, Owens, Reigns, or Lesnar.
I missed the KO part.
KO has a match with Braun at the pay-per-view earlier for the briefcase. He could win the briefcase off
at SummerSlam?
Yes.
Fuck.
So, by the way, Kevin Owens had an amazing maneuver this week. Is he keeps using his son as a manipulation tactic.
Yeah.
He keeps saying, my son is your favorite. Now, last week, Strowman was your favorite, but then my son didn't like what he did last week. Now he says that Corbin is his favorite.
It's so Baron good. Corbin kicking up to the constable.
Which, by the way.
And his son's name's Owen, which is also great.
Owens. I was going to say that so unbelievable for any kid to like Baron Corbin. There's no way that any kid in America's favorite wrestler is Baron Corbin.
I don't know. Some of these people I meet on the internet.
Interesting what they did with him, though. Shaved his head,
made him a
stooge for the corporation.
Well, they made him a constable, which is a completely fake position that's completely unprecedented.
I believe it's a British detective position that they gave him.
I think it's a Harry Potter thing. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I feel like you have as much power as President Jack Tunney has.
he's
a figurehead.
And so, all right. Last thing we'll say about, I just thought Brock, I did think he nailed it this week. When he came into the ring at the end, I thought when he goes, you got a problem with me? He seemed so fucking scary.
Yeah.
And then he just F-fied Angle in that way where, like, you know, when like a mob meeting and the boss rolls up and he goes, yo, you guys got a problem? And he just kills one guy.
Now you're listening.
And he's just like, and they're all just don't say anything.
Yeah,
like,
that
it
was
felt
great.
Just like that.
And I love that Corbin was like, I'm going to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And
then
I like that he grabbed Paul. I thought he was going to grab Corbin. And when he grabbed Heyman, I was like, oh, shit.
Interesting.
And he's grabbed him. He's like, I can't breathe. And he's like, fuck you.
I love that.
Oh, man. Because he's like, is there a chance?
I love when people scream when they're not like
off
like
mic.
When they're not. Yeah. No, I love when people scream when there's actually no pain being inflicted on them. They're just like so worked up when they're just like, I can't breathe. And then there's no hand on their neck even.
Right.
They just can't breathe.
Jaw.
Like, it's you're like, all right, what do you? They flip out so much where you're like, all right, man. Like, you're already down for the count without the offense.
Do you think they let Brock walk out of SummerSlam with the
belt?
That's
the question.
To go to UFC win both?
I think that to win both. I don't think he's winning in UFC. I don't think it's going to happen.
Dude, I wouldn't sleep on Brock Lesnar.
I mean, are you a big UFC guy?
Yeah, I mean, Daniel Cormier is Fat Daniel now.
Daniel Cormier is fat.
The size differential between Brock and Daniel is substantial.
Daniel Cormier has pretty much laid out and destroyed everyone he's faced, except for Jon Jones, who mops the floor with him.
Yeah.
He doesn't lose. And Brock Lesnar's, you know, taking shots from Alistair Overeem. He's losing to him. He's losing to Hunt. I mean, he's losing.
Well, he lost Alistair Overeem because he got diverticulitis and he got kicked right where it was.
Sure. I'm just saying. Look,
times.
I love Brock. No, people talk about him being an illegit UFC champ. I tell him to shut the fuck up. He defended that belt until Stipe defended it three times. He defended it twice, which was the record for most defenses.
Yeah.
He's an incredible champion. I love Brock as a UFC fighter, but I don't think he's winning this.
You don't think he beats Cormier?
I don't think he beats Cormier.
I don't think he could beat Cormier either, but I want him to.
I want him as a wrestling fan.
Yeah, I, of course. I want Cormier.
An F5. I would love an F5. Is that F5 legal in UFC?
Oh, yeah. Dude, that'd be great, dude. If he's got Cormier up.
Oh, my God. Imagine he's punching a guy, and you know when they're like, you got to punch him a little more to pepper him to win?
Yeah.
But they're definitely like not lucid. Can you take a step back and just pick him up for an F5?
Just shoot on that leg and get it up? And then
he would
go
in history. It's worth it.
Yeah.
It's so worth it.
Dude, if you did a wrestling – if you did your wrestling finisher in UFC and then you still got, what if he hooked the leg?
For
going for a pin, and they're like, that's not how it works. It's not kind of solution.
Stand up.
There's a couple times where I'm like, you could give this guy a stunner and it would be really funny and it wouldn't affect the match. It wouldn't knock him out. But the guy's like, you know when they're like in that mode where they're so tired, they're like,
They're on their heels.
Yeah.
Do you think CM Punk could ever come back after losing twice in UFC?
To fight in the UFC again?
No, to fight and to be a wrestler.
He could main event WrestleMania this year if he came back.
Probably.
And no one would bat an eye at it.
That's what I love about wrestling fans. We talk about how fickle they are. They're also like, thanks for coming back.
Yeah, man.
Also, like us, we're part of the problem with the podcasters. Yeah. It's like, he can't come back, no way. And then his music, it's like,
dude, I knew he'd come back, man. He did it. He's here.
Che and I went to Raw 25. My buddy texted me. He's like, dude, I got a friend. St. Germain was like, I got a friend in the building. Says Punk might be there. And I was like, dude, Punk might be there. And Che's like, why did you tell me that? Like, as a wrestling fan, he's like, why would you tell me that?
No,
we're on our way there.
Yeah.
Hold that. Because now if he comes out, it's fucking ruined.
I like it. I always say that on this podcast. It's like, I don't know what's the deal with everyone who doesn't want to get worked.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to get worked. Yeah. I want to be surprised. I want to be tricked.
I want to be wrong. The best feeling of the past 20 years of wrestling for me was Brock losing to Undertaker.
Undertaker
losing to Brock.
Oh, 30?
Hearing that, WrestleMania 30. Yeah. Hearing
my
that three dropped. Count in a room with like 12 wrestling fans and everyone going no, Brock didn't.
Wiping their eyes did I just see it?
This is the second time they faced. There's no fucking way. Yeah, I want to be tricked.
I want to be tricked. I want to be tricked. I want the sixth sense. I want to be like, oh, Bruce Wells is dead the whole time.
Or CM Punk walks out of SummerSlam with the belt. And you're like, wait a minute. Monday Night Raw.
Absolutely.
He came in just holding a different briefcase, and they just made up some bullshit why he gets a briefcase also. And like Shane comes out and explains it. And just cashed in on Strowman, who just cashed in.
Well, or if he just sits down and cuts a fucking promo and then's like, let me get in there. And everyone's like,
get in there! Yeah. I'm working on something with Letterman. I'll reveal it later.
Interesting.
That's going to be very funny.
Oh, you're talking about the logistical, contractual implications? Yeah.
My buddy's a lawyer. I'm working on something.
He's the sponsor of the show.
He's the sponsor of the show, Adam Letterman, attorney at law. And we're going to make a mock-up what the contract has to be in the briefcase.
I want to see
what it would look like. What does it have to say?
How would the legal contract go down?
They could quickly change it to Owens?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Is there a clause?
Yeah. I mean, also, they just hand it off. There's no signing there.
Yeah.
But also, my question was, can Joe sign, just like sign that day without Paige there or whatever the GM is? All right, we got to move on.
Okay.
We have to move on. So, because speaking of getting worked, Tommaso Ciampa, this feels like a year ago, but last week won the NXT title just at Full Sail on NXT last week.
Love it.
Tommaso Ciampa, you know, Blackheart is the champion. Did you see that match?
Yeah.
This match was amazing, I thought.
Ciampa?
Aleister
Black.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
You should watch it.
I'll go back and watch it.
Well, Aleister Black's wrestling like it's his last time he's going to wrestle at Full Sail.
Yeah, he's wrestling on fire.
He's definitely getting called up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think Aleister Black's never been a guy that you've questioned of like, when's he? It's like, he's going to come up.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He's great. Yeah.
I was, after that Velveteen Dream match, I thought that's when he was going to come up.
Yeah, totally.
I was like,
I think it's just they're waiting for spots. Like, because I imagine they're trying to avoid the Bobby Roode situation.
Yeah,
where they bring up a guy who's fire, and then he comes in cold
as shit. Well, they did it with Sanity, and that I was surprised that Aleister Black wasn't before Sanity.
Well, the word on the street was they were thinking about having, like, you know, a tag tournament or something like that.
Okay.
Well, yeah. I guess they're doing it now, and they brought up all these tag teams to, like, fill that thing and just never materialized.
Yeah. Well, Ciampa's amazing. Here's the thing I want to bring up, which is just peripheral, but Moro Ronaldo, right? Obviously, he has the doc.
I love the doc.
You said it's like a 10 out of 10.
Bipolar Rock and Roller. I fucking loved it. I'm hooked. I'm going to watch it again. It's an amazing documentary.
Right.
He's very bipolar. He's not just like a little bipolar. He is like.
Well, he left SmackDown.
He claimed that JBL was bullying him.
Yeah.
I mean,
you got to see this doc and you'd be like, oh, yeah, man, just do whatever you got to do.
Really sick. But anyway, I was watching NXT, and then I was watching that. I rewatched the Ciampa match, and then I watched Raw and SmackDown, and I was like, yo, Moro, that's my style of wrestling announcer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Some people, it annoys them. I'm like, yo, after when I watch Raw, I'm like, this is boring. Like,
didn't he call the Cruiserweight Championship tournament?
He called the McGregor Mayweather match.
Specifically wrestling, he called, the Cruiserweight
Classic? Yeah, he did the Cruiserweight Classic with.
That's where I fell in love with him.
Daniel Bryan?
Yeah.
Wasn't it with Daniel Bryan?
It was with Daniel Bryan. But he was great. So that's when I kind of learned to love him, was watching the Cruiserweight Classic.
Yeah, well, I like him from Pride. Like, I've been on the Mauro camp for a long time. You know why he's so good? Because he's so fucking into it. And it's not a joke. He loves this shit. Like, he's so out of his mind, insane with happiness that he gets to watch this shit every day. It really comes through in the announcing.
Yeah.
He's just like one of us.
He did New Japan for a while, too, right?
Did he do New Japan? I don't know.
Because I love the JR Josh Barnett combo.
I love that combo.
Yeah.
I miss a nice JR. It's nice to watch him.
I love
good old JR.
Especially when he's there.
I don't even like, people always ask me, I always admit that's like my flaw as a wrestling fan and viewer. It's like, I barely pay attention. Graves is the only guy who's on my radar at all. I hear his lines. But if it's not the king, I want it to be like the announcers are like, it's the bakery chef and the policeman. Like, I don't like this thing where it's like they're just guys saying stuff.
Guys in suits.
That's why Moro is like a character. His thing is he says like 90s references and he's like over the top. I love that.
He's being so over the top and he screams Mamma Mia a lot.
Yeah.
Mamma Mia.
Yeah, he's like, Hachi Machi.
I love that. Dude, I love a good critic reference.
Yeah, he's a critic. Oh, yeah. John Lovitz, if he was the announcer, it'd be amazing. They should get a big talent.
Not an announcer, just be a valet. Like, imagine if John Lovitz as Jay Sherman was Lashley's handler.
Oh, yeah, they can't get a guy that's over
it the hill. It stinks.
Like, Lashley, I've been looking at some of your mic skills.
Yeah.
It stinks.
Yeah.
That's
the ticket.
They added Charlotte to this Carmella Becky match.
Mm-hmm. Which
is
weird.
So it's going to be a triple threat at SummerSlam, Carmella Becky versus Charlotte. We were saying last week, what's Charlotte doing?
She's in the main event.
I guess that's the problem, that they were like, what do we do? And this is a big problem with WrestleMania. It's a big problem with SummerSlam. It's this thing where it's like, everyone gets a match at these things.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where
the
it's
big
like,
four, they got to get everyone on. Because those are the ones that they use that to please the hardcore fans, but also to get the new fans.
Right.
They're like, watch Royal Rumble.
I guess like Charlotte's the number one female wrestler. I guess Ronda Rousey is
now.
But
Ronda's kind of like Ultimate Warrior to Charlotte's Hogan. Charlotte's in the business. Charlotte's born into the business.
Right.
She's going to be fucking around the business forever. You know, Ronda comes in hot off something else. It's just...
She's going to do like 2 years, right?
Ronda...
I have hopes for Ronda being a Hall of Famer. Well, of course she's going to be a Hall of Famer one day, but I have hopes for being in there for like...
the least exclusive Hall of Famer.
Yeah. I think she's going to
just show up.
I think she's going to be in for a little... I think she's going to get this belt and she's going to fucking run with it and she's going to like actually be a WWE lifer in a way. She'll like The Rock. She'll come back, you know, in and out forever.
Do you ever think you see The Rock come in and really do another
match? It's not worth it.
He's such a movie star.
The insurance alone, like, it's like, if he gets hurt and can't do, like, three, if he gets injured, if he sprains his ankle and can't do 3 days of production on one of the 10 things he's doing right now.
That's as much as you're going
to pay. Right, exactly. He's losing $150 million a day. Like, why bother? So, no to him. But I think Ronda could kind of fill
those shoes. Remember that fucking Monday Night Raw where that music hit and everyone was like, The Rock's back after 8 years? You're like, The Rock's back.
Oh, yeah.
Back.
Yeah.
Doors open, man.
He can't wait to get back in the ring. That was his quote from like the other day.
The door is always. When are they ever going to say, "Nah, man, we don't"? Now's not a good time.
Any match he wants.
Yeah, the minute he's ready to even if it's on a fucking Tuesday, they'll be like, all right, we'll fill an event. We'll fill an arena somewhere. We'll bump 205 live. You're in.
Yeah. Well, they're in Miami this week, and I thought there might be a chance.
Oh, especially with Elias in, right? With the guitar.
Yeah, with Elias in there. By the way, do you guys know that the Miami crowd did a We Want Roman chant?
Yeah, but that was after the Heyman thing.
Yeah.
Right, but we need to talk about this. This is very interesting.
Yeah.
Because classically, I like to say that the more an audience cheers for Roman Reigns, the more you know that that city is filled with stupid heads.
Yeah.
Like, that's for dum-dums. Idiots like Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
But I view Miami as a pretty...
They booed him earlier.
It's a pretty big city.
Night,
like, it's a big city filled with a lot of Jews. You know, Miami has some intellect there.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay. What are they doing?
No bias there.
Jews are smarter. Well, I don't know. This is my bias.
You know what? I agree, and I'm not even Jewish.
Thank you. It's my bias, and I'm going to spread it
I'm
to people.
I'm half Swedish, half Irish. I'm going to say, there's a reason they call you the chosen people.
That's right.
Alcoholism doesn't tend to stick to all of you, and you guys are good with your money.
That's right.
That is true. I can rein in this.
But the thing is, they started cheering for Roman. I mean, it was great work by Heyman, great work by Brock.
It finally popped Roman.
Popped Roman. So they got. Now, is this going to stick? Is he going to be over in all these smart cities or just in the dumb ones? Time will tell. I don't know.
I just think this week Brock was so good at being evil.
Yeah.
They were like,
fuck you.
The other guy's the good one.
Yeah. Right.
They like didn't even know what
I
to
completely
do.
Agree with you. I think it was so bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Brock was such an asshole.
He was so irredeemable.
So irredeemable. Yeah. They're like, fuck it. All right, bring Roman.
But that's why I love Brock Lesnar so much, because everything he does is important.
Yeah.
If he's showing up, that's important. If he's not showing up, it's important. Like, he can turn tides with one episode.
Your point about Brock was, I popped in my head this week.
Yeah.
You say he's a lion.
He's like watching a white Bengal tiger in the jungle.
Yeah.
When you go on a safari, you paid good money because you were like, I hope I see one of those fucking tigers.
Yeah.
And then the tiger comes out.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh,
that's
my,
like
oh
this
my
week
God.
When his music hit, like, keep in mind, the crowd was just seeing video.
Backstage.
It was on the TitanTron.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they're like, there's a chance he's not going to come out, right?
Yeah.
And like, then the music hit and he comes out and then he had the belt on and we don't even see the belt and it's fucking bright red.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, it's, you know, so there was a thing where I was like, oh, it's like he emerged.
Yeah.
The lion woke up. He wakes up for 1 hour to eat.
And no one realizes how good Heyman is because he makes that whole thing work where when Brock hands Heyman the belt, Heyman immediately is happy to see Daddy's home.
Mm-hmm.
So he's putting the belt up, and he's like, I told you.
Yeah.
I fuck you guys.
Like, it was all
fuck
part of his plan
you.
The whole time.
Fuck you. Just,
I can't breathe. I can't breathe.
But that was but before that was perfect because he did the smarmy, like,
mm-hmm.
fuck you, Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
I told you he was coming. And then Brock fucks up Kurt Angle, and Paul's like, told you. And then Brock turns on him, and you're like, that was great. I just fucking loved it.
He only, like, half turned on him, right? He, like, just grabbed his
face. Choked him
and
goes, don't you
He said, you're getting so I can't even tell you.
How
under my skin you're getting.
It's not even a cool way to say that.
Well, nothing Brock does is cool.
Brock's lame.
He's not above cool.
He's a lame dude.
He could dress way better.
His haircut is fucking awful.
His haircut's bad.
It's like a dorky dad haircut who's trying, who was in the military like in the 60s.
He needs the beard back.
The beard was cool when he had that at UFC, right?
Yeah.
When he lost to Kane.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, Kane is training in UFC.
Yeah, I know.
Is that brown pride tattoo too crazy for WWE?
It's great. They're looking for a big Mexican champion.
The only time they've covered that up was MVP when they made
him wear a full body suit.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to run through a couple things. You guys tell me what inspires you. So we got Samoa Joe versus I was saying this was the week of heels.
Sure. Yeah.
This was like the
I didn't see SmackDown, so I got to watch SmackDown. I got to watch Ciampa win the belt.
Yeah, well,
I mean, you got
Ciampa,
to. You got to.
Yeah you got to see Ciampa win the belt.
Because Gargano, Ciampa, Chicago Street Fight at NXT was like one of my favorite things.
Tore the fucking house down.
Yeah, that was fucking that was great.
Ciampa has gone been tearing the house down for a year.
Ciampa's now establishing his move is that he rips up the mat.
When he did that, man, at Chicago, and then I was like, it was almost a New Japan move where you're like, they left it, didn't get to it, and then finally got to it, and you're like,
oh, Chekhov's gone.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where, like, it's rare. Like, I know wrestling's fake, so it's rare to watch wrestling and be like, yo, that's fucking too far. That's vicious, dude. Don't do it, man. And then, but I got that reaction from that Ciampa DDT.
That one spot where, the one spot where he jumped onto the tables.
Crazy.
That's what I can never, that's the move. We got to figure out what that's called, because I can never, it's the, you know, it's like Sheamus's, he had that finisher where he hooks your head.
Yeah, hooks your head and then drops.
What is that called?
I don't know. It's like a
Well, someone
sit out,
someone
side
yell at
slam.
Me.
It's like a yeah, it's like a brain buster side slam combo.
There
thing.
Is a name for it that
there's
I
gotta
used
be.
To know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'll scour the move lists.
Yeah, yeah. It's yeah. But it's a yeah. It's like a reverse sidewalk slam.
Yes,
kind of, right.
Kind of.
But it's not what it's called. But anyway, I want to call it a crucifix something with
yeah,
a heel
some
with
sort
a
of crucifixion.
Doesn't
going
matter.
On there.
That spot was like too far for me almost. Like it was hard to watch.
When he did it, I was like, whoa, fuck.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I love getting grip like that. And
yeah.
I feel like that's, I think, you know, I was blowing New Japan, but because I feel like I feel like that a lot with their
you
matches.
You get that a lot. You
no,
get that a lot.
There's
a lot.
Even like Ospreay's matches or like the Young Bucks. I'm always like, ha, ha.
Well, that's because they're doing it once a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're
all six-man tags.
Right. Yeah.
I just got to take it to Bola. I'm going to the last night of Bola. It'll be my first time. It's the Battle of Los Angeles, the PWG thing. I'd never been. They changed arenas, so now it's in a building with air conditioning and shit.
Oh,
so now I'll go.
Nice. Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
Treat yourself.
So anyway,
Week of the Heel, you're saying?
Week of the Heel. Orton.
So good.
Orton is maybe he might be entering that we might be seeing his second act.
I think we're seeing the golden era of Randy.
So I'll tell
Orton.
You what Orton did this week.
Because I know Hardy came back to confront him. Right?
Yeah, he came out to confront him. Jeff Hardy. It reminded me how terrible he is on the mic.
He's not a talker. He's not a talker.
Orton comes out. Orton comes out. By the way, he's wearing this thing he wears is like a. I want to say it's like a suede scarf, but it's a vest.
Yeah.
It looks like Jericho's
scarf. And he's got a hoodie. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a hoodie. Falls, when you have a body like that, any piece of clothing is just going to drape
so
off you perfectly.
Hot, dude.
Yeah. If I could Freaky Friday into any wrestler, I mean, it used to be only Orton, now it's Orton or Finn. If I could just like be that guy.
Oh,
for, like,
Finn? Yeah, just Finn's just.
Would you ever do that to them? Can you imagine? The Freaky Friday,
if they had to come to me, I wouldn't wish my fucking body on my worst enemy.
Or they wake up and they go like, oh, wait, my synapse is fire. I'm pretty goddamn good.
You don't know this about Chev. He's got one of the least functioning bodies.
Yeah, I got no cartilage in my knees. I got two herniated discs. My dick barely works. You know, just, I'm falling apart.
No, but your brain, though, would be sparkling clean compared to those
guys. My brain is on fire.
Yeah.
He had a doctor one time tell him that you're aging faster than other people.
Yeah, he told me that you're prematurely aging, and that's the problem here with your kidneys and stuff. I'm like, okay, great, man,
cool, thanks.
So anyway,
I love that.
Orton starts beating the shit out of Jeff Hardy. He lays him on the Spanish announce table, right, and he just pours water on his face and takes a rag and starts like wiping off the face paint of his. And they just being like, he's wiping away his identity.
They're taking away his connection to the fans.
Yeah.
Is that what they're saying?
Yeah.
Well, because Hardy was saying, like, when you took the U.S. title away from me, that's my connection to the fans. You stole that from me.
Yeah.
And then, like, Orton's like, I'll fucking take your connection away from the fans.
Yeah,
I'll take everything away from you.
Yeah.
You just fucking
the
did it.
Viper.
He's
starts,
the and the legend now. Now he's the legend.
Yeah, he was the legend killer.
Now he's the legend.
Now he's the legend.
I love it.
Or the killer legend. And but he's like whispering. I love that thing when they whisper in each other's
whispering.
He's like,
hard.
Because, you know, Stone Cold used to be like, how about shit?
Yeah.
Like,
it was in the 90s. So the volume was turned way up. Now it's a fucking more subtle era.
You know who has the best one? Steen. Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
So when he fucking beating him up, he's like, I don't like you. And he's just yelling at him. And you're like, God, I love that.
He's got good free form ramblings.
Yeah, he did that really well in NXT.
Yeah.
He'd
Owens?
Be beating someone up and he'd be like, shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up and scream at the ref. And you're like, I like this guy. I like him.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Orton was also doing what I could only describe as Tony Soprano breathing while he was removing the paint from from Hardy's face. He's like,
Calm
on. You gotta be fucking calm.
So then, also the week of the Hill, Samoa Joe came out, cut a promo on AJ.
Great promo.
Also feels like a show where they find more innovative ways to do, like, he's going to talk. You know, it's like, he's going to be in the middle of the ring and cut a promo, but they'll just be like, this is the address, or like whatever they call it, where it's like.
I'm going to go back and watch that, because I'm excited, because I love Samoa Joe, and I'm excited for a Samoa Joe AJ Styles.
It's a great promo.
He's really coming to his own. Like, I wasn't sold on him right when he got the call up. But now he's, like, really working for me.
I really thought it could have gone much better for Samoa Joe if Seth Rollins doesn't get injured when he puts that clutch, that Cobra clutch on him.
Yeah.
Right when he comes up from NXT.
So the angle Joe is going for against AJ Styles is like, yo, you're the champion, but, like, but what you are is a failure as a father. He's like, you are on the road, like, a million days a year, and, like, your kids barely know you. It's like,
well,
yeah.
That's what he said. The thing that he said that was, like, fucking cutting is he was like, your wife and your kids, you think they're rooting for you. They're secretly rooting for me.
Yeah.
They want me to win because they want their fucking father back.
Jesus.
And he's like, I'm going to put you out of your misery of being the WWE champion and not with your family.
It was
and
crazy.
You're going to thank me. You're going
to
thank
Whoever
me.
Whoever hit that angle. Like, what an angle to take. Great. Your family secretly wants me to beat you so they can have you back.
Awesome.
Amazing.
Great.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Week of the heel, baby.
It was great. Okay. We covered most of it. We got to get you out of here, Shebs. We can rock a little more if you want to hit a couple more things. But I actually have a question for you.
Yeah.
So one of our that was not much.
That was very much.
That was much on purpose.
Sometimes you gotta go. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So one of our listeners sent. I had a cash in that it was a question for you, but we kind of covered it already.
Yeah.
Fuck it, let's play. You got like 2 minutes?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Of course. 9:03 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Brother, yeah. Dan Soder, yeah. Macho Man, yeah. Tiptoe with Too Low Time, yeah. We got a blender, yeah. Brother.
Rewatching the Samoa Joe promo right now on SmackDown, and it just had me thinking about SummerSlam, Raw, SmackDown, NXT on all cylinders, firing. WWE is going for it. Samoa Joe versus AJ, SummerSlam. Miz, Daniel Bryan, SummerSlam. Brock, Roman, SummerSlam. Dolph, Seth, SummerSlam. NXT, Ciampa, Gargano. And Aleister Black.
Gargano?
Alright, don't worry. I'm fine.
Versus, good enough. Adam I got Cole, judged. The tag team match. My question to the Dan and Dan connection. What match are you looking forward to most SummerSlam weekend?
Brother, yeah. Definitely a match made in hell. Yeah. I'm talking about Seth Rollins versus Dolph Ziggler. Yeah. Burn it down. Hit it.
Dolph Ziggler will be at the SummerSlam Tacular.
I think Ziggler is one of the most underrated workers. Him and Miz are two of the most underrated workers.
Absolutely.
That they go out and fucking put on a show every time. And I think Seth Rollins is my favorite worker right now because I think they've really they've kind of hobbled Finn from doing and Nakamura. There's that interview with Kenny Omega where he's like bummed out that Nakamura is not getting able to do what he does.
Yeah.
And I feel that same way where it's like you watch old Nakamura. I bet he goes back to New Japan in January.
You think so?
Yeah, I think Nakamura.
I don't know if he can handle that level of work or like those matches. Can he do them anymore?
I think he goes back.
But
there,
they'll give him whatever he wants.
He gets the Brock payday in New Japan when he goes back, and that also opens up for them to sign the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
To come over to WWE. But I'm excited, very excited to see Seth and Dolph for the IC.
Me too.
Because that's going to be a match where you're like, fuck. And then McIntyre's going to get involved. You know, there's going to be a crazy. There's going to be a lot of.
Ambrose might show up.
Ambrose,
who I hate.
Perfect.
But he'll
time
probably
for him
show,
to show
up. He's probably showing up.
And
to
I think.
Counteract.
Gene's Ambrose, baby.
The Scottish.
And anytime Ziggler gets a push, I'm a fan. Because that's a guy. He's like a great comic that doesn't get industry love. Where you're just like, man, this guy's so funny, and he's consistent, and just no one gives a shit. And then he puts out a special, and everyone's like, this special's fucking great. And you're like, yeah, Dolph's been there. He works every fucking time.
I mean, he's been on this podcast before, and the thing he said, he was like, he's like, tell me if there's ever a wrestler that can do what I do, where they can drop as low as I do and instantly be as high as I do, and no one thinks it's weird or a charity like
it's
push.
Crazy,
right?
You know what I mean?
It reminds me a lot of like that. Saying something like that is like when The Miz cut that fucking shoot promo on Daniel Bryan, on Talking Smack, which is I've been waiting for this match since that promo.
They got
where
back
he's
on
like,
track this week.
I'm never injured.
Yeah,
I fucking work every week, and that was the promo where I was like, man, The Miz is the shit.
No, I have a clip.
You have it?
I don't have it here because
I've been here for 12 years.
So the soundboard is normally records for in LA, and I have a full soundboard and a
So this is
New York soundboard.
This is your travel.
And I always play this Miz. It's just one time where he just screams and just goes, "I have been here for 12 years." And
that's
like,
that promo.
And you're like,
he goes, "And I voice wrestle every night, and I don't get injured, and I put on great matches." And you're like, Fuck yeah. That made me a misfit.
Also, he's like, I don't have to flip onto some metal or a table and kill myself because I'm more talented than that. Like, I don't have to rely on that.
I'm more
I got charisma. I got an interesting wife. I got an interesting life. I got an interesting look.
I love
all charisma.
I'm a big Miz guy.
Miz, yeah.
I'm a big charisma fan.
We were trying to, I'm a big
if
charisma
If you have charisma,
guy.
That goes very far.
It matters more. It's the number, Mike is the number one crown of wrestling, which is why we say, can CM Punk come back?
Well,
because,
of course.
Because you can't, no one, especially now, can get on the microphone and take Punk down. He will, like, Eminem you in 8 Mile. Yep. Just like, I lost in UFC 2 times.
But guess what?
At you. You're fat and done nothing.
Yeah.
Like, and he will pull that off.
He goes,
like,
I still get a bigger pop when I come through that curtain.
Yeah, actually, I'm rich. My wife is hotter than you.
My wife's not, He's like, I married the hottest girl in the WWE, and then I left, and I pursued my dream. It didn't work out, but now I'm back to take your belt.
Yeah.
And you'd be, I'd be over in a second.
CM Punk could sell a little dick angle.
Yeah.
He could sell that.
Yeah, I got a little dick, and I'm still going to eat pussy better than you ever could. And you're like, that's a good call, CM Punk's
right. He's right. It's not about the size.
I would like to see that. And I bet Roman would give up a little bit of his physical talent to have more mic skills.
Sure. Yeah.
Because that could just sell. Can sell.
Yeah. If you have the crowd on your side, they'll give you the world. That's what happened to Daniel Bryan. The crowd got, not because of his mic skills, but the crowd got behind him. And then they were just like, fuck it. You get to beat everybody.
Macho Man is arguably one of the greatest in-ring workers of all time. Meticulous in his matches. You watch all of his matches. They said that they put him in matches just to make other guys look good.
Right.
Because he could do that. Without his mic skills, he's less forgotten than Bret Hart.
Yeah, he's like a 5'9".
He's like a guy where you're like, oh, yeah, he dropped the elbow. Wasn't he the first guy that used the elbow?
Right.
But then what has kept Macho Man alive is all the promos of him saying, crazy far out there, you know.
And Slim Jim.
Yeah, Slim Jim.
Honestly. All that Slim Jim
money.
Stuff.
But you have to have a personality to be a sponsor.
But to break through into the zeitgeist of common culture as like, because most people go like, oh, it's a Slim Jim guy. And you're like, it's also the greatest professional wrestler of all time. One of the greatest professional wrestlers.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Ric Flair.
Favorite wrestler. Oh, I mean,
great
I've
ring
been,
worker.
I've been in such a Flair rabbit hole. Oh, I mean, it's
I got the
best,
3-discer.
It is the best thing. Watching his promos with just the white fucking hair.
Yeah.
Going into a fucking auditorium in Georgia.
Shivani, like,
and making half the crowd want to fight him.
Yeah.
By being like, I got money. You don't got it. You want to be me. Your wife wants to be with me.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you and fuck Dusty
it's
Rhodes.
It's what Sacha Baron Cohen does. Like
it really
everyone
is.
Gives everyone like shits on pro wrestling and then everyone loves professional wrestling. Yeah. They don't realize it. If you voted for Donald Trump, you like professional wrestling.
He went Stone Cold heel.
Yeah. Oh,
he
went
Stone Cold heel where he goes, I don't give a goddamn about the government. You want to suck my dick? And everyone's like, yeah!
Woo! Oh, my
God. 316.
All right, Soder, we're past your time that you got to be here. I had one last question for you. Can I give it to you? Can I hit you with it?
Yeah.
Okay. The guys who said that Cash had sent me a clip of you talking about, you're like, yo, if I get my wife's going to have to be a wrestling
fan.
Yeah,
it just has to.
We talk about a lot on the show because my wife, you know my wife.
Yeah, I know, Jamie.
She absolutely despises professional wrestling.
And that is. I dated a woman who was like, I don't care if she hates it. Let me rephrase what I said. I just need to.
Don't worry, you can't offend me.
I need to find a girlfriend or a wife that understands I likes it, that I like it, and just leave it at that.
I likes it?
That I likes it? But I've dated so many women that are like, that is so gay, or like, that's so stupid. It's fucking stupid you like it. And you're like, hey, stop.
Yeah.
I like it. I likes it.
I like,
but I'm not.
Me likes it.
But I'm not gonna fucking. Don't make me feel bad for liking something.
But I don't understand why is wrestling is so. Why is it so fair game for that? Where like everyone completely fails to evolve. It's like this is the number one rated show on television.
It's funny you're saying you're doing the. You know, you're doing like all bits based on stand up. I had a bit on my Netflix special about.
You mentioned it in that.
All
wrestling fans have a bit that's like, you call wrestling fake, and here's it.
So now there's a new one I'm doing now where I'm like, I get so much shit talked to me for being a wrestling fan, but yet I'm watching all these mermaid fans walk around, and no one rips them down for the fact that mermaids are based off of illiterate fishermen that are so horny that they looked over a boat and they go, I want to fuck that fish.
Yeah.
And then that just became a thing where it's like, I'm a mermaid. Well, bitch, I'm a cruiserweight fucking luchador.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's just say that. I'm in the Bullet Club. Fuck you.
Woo! That's what I say. Like, my wife, like, she's like, oh, this, it's just fake. And you're like, Yeah, like your favorite show is like Friends, which is about it's not paleontologist with a pet monkey who fucks Jennifer Aniston.
You know what's fake?
Like, that's fake. That's fake.
You know what's fake?
So
that
fake.
Apartment that they live in.
I know. I say
five bedroom apartment.
Yeah, it really is like when people call it fake. You're dumb. You sound dumb already because it's not fake. Those guys are taking real bumps.
Sure.
What it is it's predetermined.
Yeah, but also forget that. It is a high form of artistic expression, and it is the only form of live theater every week on television. Like, it is live. And it messes up. Think about all those mess ups. Even SNL doesn't mess up like that. SNL's more controlled than that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the Bobby Lashley thing, like, don't you want to see a little bit of a train wreck that's not sports? And when they succeed, it is some of the highest moments on television, and people... miss it. Mm-hmm. They watch bullshit.
It really is. There's so much mediocre horseshit out there that it's like, if you like something, I can understand if someone doesn't like wrestling. That's fine. I don't know where our culture became this thing where if you don't like something, you have to tear it down as opposed to just being like, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I remember my dad when he was, you know, the 3 years he was in my life. But I remember he used to have this saying where he wasn't rude. If he didn't like something, I'd be like, you know, like, I remember my mom asking my dad, like, you didn't like that? He's like, I don't care for it. That's just all he said.
Right.
And then he'd move on. He wouldn't fucking shit on the thing. He'd be like, if a guy didn't like me, I don't really care for him. That's what he'd say. I don't really care for him.
Yeah.
And then that was it. It's not like, who's his boss? I'm going to go talk to his boss to get him fired. It's like, fucking you don't like something? You don't like something. If you don't, that's what the whole point is like, I have to find a girlfriend that's like, are you going to go watch Raw? I don't need her being like, burn it down! Like, it would be cool. It would be cool if she yelled at, but I'm saying, like, I need to find a woman that's kind of like, oh, you're going to go watch wrestling? You're going to have the guys over for WrestleMania? My ex, my most recent ex-girlfriend, was very cool about that.
Yeah.
I was like,
hey,
I'm having the guys over for fucking Royal Rumble. And she's like, hey, have fun, have pizza. I get it, you're doing it. But the girlfriend before that was like, it's fucking stupid. You're wearing wrestling t-shirts? It's stupid. Yet I'm wearing a Four Horsemen shirt
right now.
By the
beautiful.
Way,
it's beautiful.
You know how many times I've walked by black dudes on construction crews and they throw up the four?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
They see me and they're like, throw up the four.
I'm giving them two sweets constantly.
I love two sweets.
By the way, I welcome my wife. Yeah. And Jamie's coming around. It's very interesting.
I guarantee she will.
Yeah, she's coming around. Because also the pod is like, gaining popularity, it's doing well, and so she's like, oh, I see, like, she's starting to be like, oh, I see the people, and then I walk by people, give them a two sweet because they're wearing like an AJ shirt or whatever, and she's like, oh,
There's
a community aspect there.
But also, what I'm realizing with is if you watch Total Divas Live or the Mr. and Mrs. Miz now on USA, that gets women invested because they're like, I like these people. Oh, he's a wrestler? I've watched it happen with my friends' girlfriends where they're then they're just like super into like the Bella twins and they're like, are they wrestling? And you're like, yeah, they're coming up later. And they're like, oh, I'll watch that. And then they're like, who's this guy? And then you're in it. And I tell girls I've dated, I'm like, I watch wrestling because I love it, but I also make fun of it constantly.
You know, that's why on this podcast, talking about Raw, like, I get shit for only covering WWE the most, and you're like, oh, because WWE is the fun one to poke fun at.
Because you're like,
New Japan is just like, yo, that's really good.
Yeah,
great match. Kenny Omega, his matches, 5 stars. Loved him. I loved every second of it. I'm going to watch it again.
Tama Tonga.
End of the conversation.
Big badass.
I'm not going to be like, oh, the second kick in that match. No, I'm going to be like, remember when Lashley forgot the words to Rock and Robin?
That's also what you want to see.
The guy's like 500 pounds.
And it's also like funny to talk back to bad promos. You're like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And you're just laughing at it. I think there's this thing of, because we're all so connected now with social media and the fucking internet, then now there's this feeling of everybody has to like everything that everyone likes. And it's like, no, that's not individuality.
No.
Same with politics. It's like, if you disagree with anything a Democrat says, well, now you're a fucking alt-right Republican, you love Trump. Or if you don't like Trump, all of a sudden you're just a fucking snowflake liberal. It's like, I'm a adult. I make my decisions topic by topic.
Yeah.
Like, I'll tell you right now, like, yeah, I fucked it. Like, we were talking about the wrestling fans being like, take his wrestling car away, because I was stoned and forgot how to say Asuka.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm fucking high on
a
radio show.
You're anti-evolution, man. You're anti-evolution.
Fuck that, dude. You're a fucking misogynist. You're like, no, I was being honest with my friend that I'm like, I'll probably watch. I'll go through it the way I watch the fucking Cruiserweight Classic or something like that, where I kind of fast forward. I break. I don't watch the whole Survivor Series. It starts, it's on until it's over. Royal Rumble. I watch the pre-show. I watch that. I'm saying with Evolution, I'll probably watch a couple matches.
Yeah.
And then I'll watch a couple of the promos. I'm like, that was good.
Well, it's up to them to make it must-see for you. Like, yeah. Don't see it as, like, the thing of coming at you being like, yo, you're garbage because you're not excited for this or whatever. It's like, not, you want that.
Yeah.
You want it to be like where we sit here just like the Ciampa. Like, NXT every week is like, feels like skippable. Now you're like, I'm going to go back a week. That means they did their job.
I think wrestling fans need to start owning wrestling the way skateboarders own skateboarding.
Oh, what a great metaphor.
Where you're like, when skateboarders are like, fuck
Lords
off.
Lords of fucking Dogtown.
Yeah, but they're like, piss off. But they're just like, piss off. I don't give a fuck if you don't like skateboarding.
I am like that, too.
I tell people
it's the highest one of the highest forms of artistic expression. Yeah. That is my quote. I think wrestling is, if you don't like wrestling, you're a fucking asshole.
But it's the best thing.
It's one of the, not that other things aren't great.
But if that guy would have been like, man, you called Asuka Asuka on your fucking show, you poser.
Yeah.
I would have been like this. Hey, you caught me. I had a bad day. I didn't know how to ollie that day.
Well, also, you didn't know how to ollie that day.
Yeah, I fucked up my kickflip.
Well, you forgot to lube your bearings. But I think a great thing about wrestling is I'm very pro being like a what's it called, Fairweather fan.
Yeah, you're allowed to be a Fairweather fan.
Yeah, I like if you're someone loses a belt, you buy that merch that day. That's something corny about sports.
You know,
like, yo, you weren't a fucking Patriots fan before. I don't know. I like them now. Fuck you. They got good now.
And I also think. What makes wrestling great is that when people start to like it, you get excited. You're like, are you into it?
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
I gotta show you this match. Like, I turned Monroe Martin on to New Japan Pro Wrestling, and I had a t-shirt from Pro Wrestling Tees that was a New Japan with the Chicago background, mm-hmm. and it was too big for me. I bought it too big. So I was like, Monroe, we watched the G1 special at my house, and he's like a massive WWE guy. And he's like, yo, I've never watched New Japan. I'm like, dude, it's great. I gave him the New Japan shirt because I was just going to toss it out. And he's like, he was wearing it. I see him at the cellar. He's like, yo, I'm looking up all those matches now.
That's great.
And he's like way into New Japan. And as a wrestling fan, you're like, it's fucking awesome. It's like giving someone an album.
Absolutely.
And they're like, I love this band now. And you're like, fuck yeah.
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 And what about the fan? What about the fact that you and I have no connection except for pro wrestling?
Yeah.
I mean, we do comedy in different cities, but we're able to be like, yo, I'm in town.
But
let's do this thing.
That's professional wrestling fan.
It really is. Yeah. If you want to, it's the same way I feel about 49ers. Fans.
It's like docking.
Yeah, it really is. It's the gayest thing. Just pull your skin over my dickhead.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've been doing that the whole
episode.
Yeah, sorry.
You could meet a comic. You could meet a fucking firefighter. You could meet a bank teller. You could meet somebody that you thought you hated. But if you're both wearing a pro wrestling t-shirt, and you're like, oh, shit, you like punk?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you like the Bullet Club? All right, now I could talk to you. Like, you instantly relate.
Yeah.
I was thinking of your story where you're like, he's a beast. All right, Dave, you got to get out of here.
Dude, fucking great seeing
you.
Dude,
man. Awesome. Thanks for coming in. Yeah.
Great. I'll see you at the office.
We're going to take a quick pick on the air right here.
Do it.
My producer's going to know she's going to give me shit if we don't take a pick.
Here it is.
On air selfie.
Watch. It's going to be like you have no space.
Yeah. There it is.
Now that is viable content.
Fuck,
that is great audio content.
You guys are beautiful. Wrestling's beautiful.
Yeah, that t-shirt is beautiful.
So bad. All right,
God
it's all
bless
good.
You.
Dude,
God bless
me. All right, we're still on the air. It's all good.
Yo, Dan, thanks for coming in, man.
Of course, man.
I'll see you around.
Yeah. I'll see you guys week of SummerSlam.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in, I'm going to come back Sunday.
Oh, so you're gonna not going to be, cool.
I'm going to be SummerSlam and Raw.
Love it.
Oh, yeah, we'll be at SummerSlam, so let's be in touch, man. Raw.
I'll be at SummerSlam. I'll be at Raw. All right. I'll be at SmackDown.
Dan Soder, guys, baby. He gave us the match. He gave us what we needed.
So much match out of that guy. It was incredible.
Oh, my God. I mean, we pretty much covered everything.
I think we covered everything.
Maybe just, like, close it out. Was there anything you want?
I mean, the one.
Zelina Vega had her first match.
So I want to say a couple things. One, Dolph Ziggler's hair reminded me a lot of Greg Valentine's hair.
Oh, yeah.
The Hammer Valentine. It was very off-putting, but also very silly and very fun.
Yeah.
Lana Zelina Vega, man, I can't fucking stomach Lana anymore.
Yeah.
Like, she's doing breakdancing. She's fucking, she just, like, looks like such a dork in there.
She's just, like, looking for, like, heat. Like, just like, here, this will get me heat. This will get me heat. It feels like a hodgepodge.
There's just nothing doing. Like, I'm so annoyed by her. And then Zelina comes out. I'm like, oh, she's got it. She knows what she's doing. Like, she has a cohesive thing, and it makes sense, and it's
fun. You know she's, almost his business manager.
Yeah, I know she's his
business manager. Not his
manager. She's his business manager.
It says on the graphic, business manager.
Yeah, but his business is wrestling, so.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
He's in the wrestling business.
But also, like, Heyman, she, like, handles some of the funds or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's his financial planning?
Yeah, I'm seeing if there's anything we didn't cover. I think we covered it. We pretty much covered everything. The only thing we didn't hit was the Natty, a couple random things. Sasha and Bayley, they're now have matching gear. They're being called the Boss and Hug Connection.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And they're wearing matching gear. And like I said, they're getting together So when they introduce the titles,
right,
that's going to be what they do titles. For an Evolution. They're going to be tag titles. And I still think they're lesbians. I still think
you
so.
You think it's like what they're angling?
That's
the angle
I don't know. I think
that's
what they're going for. Kevin Owens had a really nice thing. This is just the random stuff we didn't hit.
This is like the you have like the news report on what happened.
Yeah,
this
yeah. I'm going to do this. Like, yeah, like
on the tens.
And you just chime in when I'm saying something. Okay. You want. Like, all right, Kevin Owens did a thing. I like this. Leading up to SummerSlam, he's now like using his sway to try to prevent Strowman from cashing in before SummerSlam.
So great. It's a great angle. It's such a, if this is true, what else is true?
Yeah.
Like, if he had a match and there is a briefcase and you could win the briefcase
yeah.
at this match, of course you're going to want to protect your investment. You're yeah. going to be like, hey, don't let him cash it in.
And he's trying to kiss up to Corbin, and Corbin's just like, yo, it's his briefcase. Like, I like Corbin. I think Corbin's in a really unique spot. He's like a weasel. He's like one of like, man, I don't have Harry Potter references down. Mm. But like, you know, there's always like
Hufflepuff.
There's always like one of those like sellout stoolies, like who's like Voldemort's guy or whatever.
Right.
Who's like just in it for himself.
Yeah.
Like his only self-interest.
You mean
what's it? Littlefinger.
Or Starscream. It's a Transformers reference. It's like someone's number two, but like they'll sell the bad guy out in a minute if they could become the
top
guy.
Yeah, they have no. Their only allegiance is themselves.
Right.
Like he's like, yeah, I'm kicking Roman out of here, and then Owens comes in and he's like, all right, we're both bad guys. He's like,
yeah.
No. There's no bad guy.
Right.
Man. It's like,
right.
No, I'm not dealing. You think I'm gonna deal with Braun Strowman for you? I have nothing to gain there.
Sure. I love
you know
it.
What I mean?
Yeah.
And like, where Kevin Owens is more like Littlefinger than Corbin.
Well,
like,
he's always working a million angles.
Yeah. Owens is working angles. Corbin is like. He's bad at what he's doing. He thinks he's working angles, but he's more of just a guy who, like,
he's a stooge.
I don't know. We have some fun characters going on right now.
I think there's a lot of good shit going on right
now. Tell me what you think about this. I think Mojo Rawley does one thing a week I like.
Okay, well, I don't, but what did he do this week?
He, like, heals off in a way, like, he's not good, but he, like, heals off in a way I like that he gets that thing where he went up to that one guy who was the hamburger guy one week and was just like, yo, your life is nothing.
Yeah,
this
that was good.
Of your existence.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that he just goes into the locker room and is like, yo, you all suck. You all suck. I'm not saying he's pulling it off, but
he's
like
not
that
pulling
writing.
It off, and that segment was really bad.
He
the
said
whole
the
rude, segment
what are
was
you going to catchphrase me into submission?
That was a funny line.
It's a good line.
That was a funny
That's
line.
That's the one thing he did this week I like.
Yeah, but you know what I didn't like? That like he goes in there and he's like, you guys all suck, and then like Zack Ryder's like, oh, yeah, you're real cool, buddy. Like it was just such a stilted, shitty promo. And then when Rude and Mojo start fighting, the whole locker room's like, yeah, right, get him. It was just everything, just nothing worked about that promo except for the line of what are you going to do with catchphrase me.
Here's a little Easter egg. In that segment where Mojo stormed the locker room, Rhino is wearing a Deleter of World
shirt. I saw that. I was like, is that a Deleter? Or does he have a new shirt?
I rewinded. No, he's wearing a Deleter of World shirt. I love that Rhino's just like, we're just so checked out. Is this gimmick? He's checked out.
This gimmick is he just works for the company.
Yeah.
He's just a guy who works there.
He just saw that shirt. He's like, I'll wear that. This is WB merch, right?
Yeah. They were just like, look, we're trying to move these T-shirts. Yeah, anyone want to wear it out there to put some more eyes on this thing? It's like, yeah, I got you.
Yeah. All right. Natty versus Alicia Fox. Next week we get Ronda's first match on Raw versus Alicia Fox. I think Fox will probably win that.
Yeah. So here's what I don't understand. When they did the Women's Evolution announcement last week and they brought them all out, I was shocked because like the front and center, like the three women right in the middle front of the camera were like, you know, Natty, Alicia Fox, and someone. I'm like, why the fuck is Alicia Fox right smack dab in the middle of this? I didn't even realize she still worked for the company. She's a complete nobody there.
Alicia?
So, yeah. Now she's like been on TV every week.
Well, Alicia kind of like, I liked her this week a little bit because like her thing, she seems like someone who's like completely vulnerable to like a Scientologist. Like, you know what I mean? Like she's like a Scientology recruit. Like Alexa like easily manipulated her.
Alexa's a master manipulator.
Yeah, but there's a lot of manipulation going on.
So
it is the week of the heel.
It's a tangled web going on here.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. But we're going to get Ronda's first match.
I feel like her first match on Raw should be with someone bigger than Alicia Fox.
I think it'll just be a squash. It's
of
fine.
Of course it's going to be
I think
squash.
It's like, because you're waiting for the big match, so it's, I don't know, I think it's okay. All right, here's another random thing. By the way, I really like when Ellsworth's music hits. Like,
it's a fun time.
I pop for Ellsworth. Carmella, I thought it's solid acting performance.
Great work out of Carmella this week.
Yeah.
Her promo was so
good.
She
also looked like a million bucks.
Well, she was wearing
a cool outfit. Louis Vuitton belt. Yeah,
instead of wearing you know, hacky, cartoony wrestling clothes.
Now she's rich trash.
Right, she dressed up like really well.
Yeah, she went before she was just Staten Island trash.
Yeah,
and now she's
got a little money because she's the champ.
Yeah, now she's rich
wearing
trash.
Louis Vuitton.
She's like, well, yeah, I like that.
But her promo was so good.
Her promo was great, and I like that it wasn't the swerve I expected.
Right,
like which is I thought the swerve was going to be like she goes, You know, and like I got really down on myself, but then I remembered right. I'm the best.
Right.
My law is money. Yeah. But she pulled the Ellsworth distraction, which I thought was cool. Doesn't it feel like they book Carmella like she's an actual wrestling threat?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like she lost that match to Charlotte because she tried to give her a figure four to like taunt her.
Right. I mean, they don't let people squash her. Like,
yeah.
She's not like a true chicken shit heel like Alexa, where it's just like.
It's surprising. Every time it shocks me.
It shocks me, but like, you know, I think the gimmick is like if it was her versus Becky straight up, Becky would win. If it was her versus Charlotte straight up, Charlotte would win. You know, just sort of, I think putting this as a triple threat makes it like, oh, maybe Carmella will come out with the belt.
Right.
She's obviously not as good in the ring as those other women, but they don't make her like nothing. They give her like some respect.
Okay, I like that Paige says baby girl a lot. I think that's an interesting catchphrase.
That's her catchphrase.
Yeah, okay, that's really it. Anything else that we didn't cover that you wanted to cover?
I covered that Ziggler's hair looked like Greg the Hammer Valentine. I am utterly bored by Sasha and Bayley still. Fast forward all that mess.
There is one more thing I wanted to get your opinion on, which is the thing that was going on the Facebook page, Comedians Wrestling Facebook page, for the Morning Under His Eye, which is the big discussion about the Nazi wrestling story.
Right.
So, like we say with the Facebook page, I like to acknowledge that as part of the show, like a symbiotic relationship, and that was a big discussion. There was a wrestler in somewhere in the Midwest, I believe. I don't think it matters.
It was in Pennsylvania.
Maybe Pennsylvania, okay, yeah. Not the Midwest. And He's a school teacher during the day.
He teaches 5th and 6th grade.
He moonlights as a professional wrestler.
Named Blitzkrieg the German Juggernaut.
I think it's important to say that a lot of teachers have to moonlight as other professions or jobs because they don't make enough money to live anymore.
I mean, I'm going to heel off here. I think we need to pay our teachers and cops more.
Yeah.
Because those are very fucking important jobs.
Yeah.
And the people I know who are teachers and cops are not the smartest people I've ever met in my life because you don't make a lot of money doing it. So you need to pay these people a little bit more money, get a little bit of fucking brains in this business.
Add a little more prestige to these professions that
it
completely
is
dictate
it
our
is an
society.
Incredibly important position to be a teacher and
a police officer.
And these people need to get paid well so that we attract good talent to these positions.
Okay, so this teacher moonlights as a wrestler, and his gimmick at night when he wrestles. And by the way, it sounded like he was inviting students to come watch him wrestle.
Or students were there, right? I don't believe that that is part of the story. That could be, but my understanding...
It wasn't in the CNN piece, but it was in the discussion. We can't confirm that part.
My understanding of the situation is that a guy who used to work for TMZ, who now has a wrestling blog or dirt sheet, found this clip, tweeted it, and then people from the school recognized him as the teacher.
Right, right.
Whether they be other teachers or the faculty, you know, the administrators or students, then recognize this guy. Like, oh, that guy teaches here. And his gimmick is being a Nazi sympathizer, which is supposed to be a heel gimmick. Like, he's supposed to be getting boos. I think if you're that character and you're getting boos...
But he didn't have a SWAT sticker.
No, he didn't have
I don't know if that matters.
I don't know if you're pronouncing that correctly, but
SWAT sticker.
Nope, it's swastika.
Swastika.
Yeah.
Well, I was saying SWAT.
SWAT.
There's no T.
You said SWAT sticker.
He's not wearing a SWAT sticker. By the way, I'm a Jew.
Yeah. waves a flag with the German Iron Cross, which is like a German military medal.
Okay, by the way, I'm ignorant here, but doesn't Triple H have that on his
gear?
Yes, Triple H. It always bothers me.
It's also like the West Coast Choppers logo. I mean, it's called the Iron Cross, but it's a German military.
Triple H always has kind of like a vaguely Nazi gimmick.
Feel. He has a vaguely Nazi feel to him.
Yeah,
like, he definitely feels like he beat up a couple Jewish kids in high school.
Okay, but I'm sure he's crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's there, where he's not pulling, you know, there's not being any uproar about that.
Right.
Okay.
Back to this guy. The problem with this guy, though, is that he's supposed to be a heel. There's a long tradition in wrestling of having, like, the foreign menace heel that you're supposed to boo. Iron Sheik was, like, you know, the Iranian kind of Arab heel we were all supposed to boo. Nikolai Volkov, R.I.P.
Oh,
but,
shoot.
Like,
and,
he, you know, was the...
And Grandmaster Sexay.
Well,
he
has nothing to do with what
no,
I'm talking about.
No, but I'm
about
saying
right
R.I.P. I
sure,
forgot to mention.
But, like, Nikolai Volkov was, like, a Soviet, you know, heel. We were all supposed to boo him because he's Soviet. I think in the same way, the Nazi sympathizer character, yes, we're supposed to boo this domestic threat, right? Boo this clearly heel character. However... What was off-putting is that in the audience, some people were not booing him. Like, people were cheering this character, giving him Zeke Hale salutes, and screaming, Trump's America. Like, so it was sort of like...
Yeah, so that was my whole argument. It was like, as someone, I got into an argument with a guy on the Facebook page, and I didn't mind that he was disagreeing with me. I had to boot this guy from the group. I didn't mind he was disagreeing with me. He started cursing at me and being not responding to what I was saying. Just being like disrespectful and completely disrespecting my opinions. And just every time I say something, like, all I'm hearing is commie shit. And, like, not responding to my actual comments. It was like, all right. And then what I wrote on there was like, the comedians of wrestling have come to the terms with the release of this guy.
Nice.
And I said we wish him luck on his future contrarian, boring endeavors.
Nice.
His argument was something like, so we can only not offend Jews. That was what his argument was.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, I don't care if you disagree. I'm saying I was in the comedy wrestling league here at UCB, and it was UCBW, and I bet there was something close to that.
Right.
It wouldn't surprise me.
No.
I mean, we grew up, like, the point I was making is, you know, Roberto Bonini made Life is Beautiful. It's a comedy. It's Hogan's Heroes. There's the producers, like, all Mel Brooks films take Nazis and poke fun at them and put them into use in comedy. I think that's fine. For me, the problem is that I think we cannot, in all those things, in Indiana Jones, he's like, I hate Nazis, is the catchphrase. And all that, it's very clear that as Americans, we agree these are against our ideologies and everything we stand for, and they're villains.
I think a baseline, we need to all agree that Nazis are bad.
Right, Nazis are bad. They go right. It's hate. It's actual hate, and it led to actual annihilation and genocide.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't trust America anymore, this is my opinion, to see this as the clear heel.
No, they're cheering him and saying Trump's America.
Right, and now you have the president of the United States of America, and I don't even think I'm being political here. This is what this guy wouldn't understand. I was like, he says there's good people on both sides of a Nazi rally and a protest, right? People who are chanting in the streets, Jews will not replace us, with torches. Not even hiding their faces, just being like, we're proud of this ideology. American citizens. So I don't think there's any, I don't think we're allowed to fuck around loosely with Nazi characters anymore. We've lost that right, unfortunately.
Right.
That's my opinion. But I think there's a time where it could have been done well.
Sure.
I'm all for not pushing the boundaries in that way. My other argument, and then you're going to respond in a second. My other argument is that it's really not, for something that we were when Soder was here that we're praising as like the highest form of art, it's really disrespectful to think it's not an interesting, unique, creative space to be in where it's like, all right, the bad guy's just a Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've got to this really nuanced place where a guy like Miz is like a villain, or a guy like Samoa Joe. These are like more nuanced bad guys, and we're getting to this place where we're hitting on things that are like truly unique, and. They go, okay, we're going to have a Nazi bad guy, and then CNN is able to put out this piece where they completely diminish the importance of professional wrestling in our culture, and they're right. You know, like, we have all this amazing wrestling happening, and this is what people think, and it perpetuates the stigma and stereotype against wrestling that we keep it just so black and white. We're in this territory where it's awesome. What were you going to say?
I mean, this is, guys, it's clearly
no
bad.
Nazis.
It's clearly bad for wrestling. I tend to agree that you should be able to do any gimmick you want. It's just sort of irresponsible to do a Nazi gimmick. There's no place for that. The thing is, I'm pretty sure he's getting fired from this school. And the question
I don't like that.
And the question is, should he get fired? And I think he should get fired. Because what kind of fucking moron are you?
I guess you have to be a moron to be a school teacher.
Like, but, like, come on, man. You teach school children. You're going to dress up like a Nazi? Like, that's just stupid. Not that it's not okay. Like, you have the right. It's freedom of speech. It's expression. It's great. But, like... it doesn't speak much to the intelligence of this person, and I wouldn't really want them teaching at my school.
Yeah, that's a good. That is a really good point. It's like I
like. Did you not see this coming, bro?
Like, he's like, oh, this is my job at night.
Right.
But I bet there's a chance he's not even getting a dollar for that. You know what I mean? Like, there's a chance he's like, yo, I just do this wrestling with my friends, and maybe it gets him like some kind of social clout or something. Like,
I mean,
like a comic doing a show or something.
You just need to have a little bit, just a smidgen of like. Awareness of the fucking world around you.
Right.
Like, I work for SiriusXM Radio. I'm on a podcast right now. If for whatever reason I decided to, like, scream the N-word, I don't know, maybe that's what I wanted to do today when I woke up, right? I'd be like, hey, I'm going to curb this urge to do that because then I'm putting out media where I seem offensive and I might get fired from my job.
Right.
That's just what a rational person would think. Again, I don't want to do that, but I'm just saying, like, it's an example of, like, even if I wanted to dress up like a Nazi, if I was a school teacher, I'd be like, probably a bad idea.
Right.
I'm going to hold off on this gimmick because it might get me fired. That's just fucking common sense.
Right.
So this guy's a complete idiot. He deserves to be fired. Even though he has the right to dress like a Nazi, fuck him.
Right. But we live in a completely different time. Times evolve where people are like, oh, you're censoring this. You're like, well, dude, I'm just saying, we live in a time where Trump's approval rating is not 0%, okay? Right. His approval rating is like 40%, which means I don't think everybody agrees with everything he's saying or what he's doing, but people are willing to let that slide.
Right.
They're willing to let, like, defending Nazis slide. That's when things stop being a joke. As a matter of fact, I'm on record saying I think Donald Trump, I thought he was really fucking funny. Before he was president of the United States, I listened to Howard Stern.
Great entertainer.
Some of it was like, man, this guy is a lunatic. Like, it's like the stuff he says, you're like, no one says this. What a unique guy. And he's like a millionaire. Like, you know, he's almost a wrestling character.
He is a wrestling character.
He is like a McMahon. Yeah, he is.
In the WWE Hall of Fame.
He is. We keep repeating it. He is in the WWE Hall of Fame. But now when he's the president of the United States,
not so funny. Not so funny anymore.
Yeah, my nephew. My six-year-old nephew is talking about how Donald Trump's the president, and I think about my view of what a president was when I was 6 years old. You know, it was like someone who set the tone for the nation, who always had a guiding social compass in a way.
Do you know who the president was when you were 6 years old?
When I was 6 years old, had to be, it wasn't, it was, but when I was six would be what year? Hold on.
This is amazing.
It's Clinton. No. 92 he was the president. So it was George Bush won when I was six.
There you go.
Yeah.
There he is.
When I was Reagan, when I was born.
Very nice. Good work.
Yeah, I know.
When I was a kid, I had no awareness.
I figured that out pretty fast, bro.
Sure.
Wait, is that supposed to be something you were able to just pull up?
Yes. No, it doesn't matter. I just thought it'd be fun.
When I'm six? Yeah.
I think when I was six, I thought the president was JFK.
Clinton was 92, right?
Yeah, he won in 92.
And then, yeah, 96 got reelected. 2000 was George Bush. Yeah.
We got it. We know who the president is.
Then Barack Obama.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah.
All right. JFK was in there at some point.
Anyway, so what's your stance on Nazis? Because you're the guy. This is why I brought this up, even though we were done with this pod.
Yeah.
With you, it directly contradicts. I see two conflicts in your brain,
no.
Which is the thing of you're like, yo, you should be able to say anything on stage.
You should be able to.
Well, I believe that too. And then you're also a big Jew.
But you're going to get fired. Like, you should be allowed. He's allowed to do that. I go for it, man.
And your grandmother is a Holocaust survivor.
Sure. And my grandfather. Look, I would say, hey, man, you're allowed to do that in America. But then I'd also say, like, we're allowed to fire you because we think you're a fucking idiot. Like, that's allowed.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Hey, look, you know what? Now that we, let's round out this podcast, okay? Hey, everybody, remember, we got a sponsor on this show, okay? Well, let's get a little tunes. Let's get a little background tunes. You guys know this guy. Yeah, this guy's a beast. At Law. Adam Letterman, attorney at law. Cal listeners, you get free legal advice. No gimmicks, okay? To speak with Adam, just join our Facebook page, Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page. Talk about wrestling at 4 in the morning. Join there. Adam Letterman is on there. You can just shoot him a message for free legal advice. There's no obligation there. Adam, LEDERMAN, Adam Letterman. Talk to him on there. Hey, remember, you can cash in, get your opinions on this show. Sorry I didn't play any cash. I played one cash in this week. We had Soda on the show. It got hectic. We were having a good time. But you can leave us a voicemail at 316-530-2429, 316-230. Wait, what is 316? I can't do it.
It doesn't 530-2429. Let's plug the show. Let's plug the live show. Plug the live show.
All right, and remember, August 18th.
Saturday.
Chef, you do it. You got it.
Saturday night, August 18th, right after NXT. Saturday night, right before SummerSlam. It is happening. The Cal SummerSlam Tacular at Caveat on the Lower East Side. Get your tickets now online. Go to caveat.nyc. Find the Comedians of Wrestling SummerSlam Tacular event. It's $15. You will see Dan Black do half an hour of stand-up comedy solely about pro wrestling. You will see Dolph Ziggler holding the IC belt in hand. You will see some people that you may know from the Facebook group live. It's going to be a good time. If you don't buy your tickets now,
exclusive Cal merch on sale.
You will see exclusive Cal merch you could only get at the live show.
Join the Facebook page. I posted the image of the shirt on there under his eye, Talk About Wrestling for the Morning. On the Facebook page, you can check that out. Great. Caveat.nyc. Dolph Ziggler will be there. Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching wrestling. Keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Comedians of Wrestling. I listen on Thursday when I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.